Pre-emergence.
Yes, and just to review that again, pre-emergent, when you, it's a granule, it's a little gray flake, and they spray the pre-emergent on the flake so that you can easily spread it with the fertilizer spreader. The gray flake doesn't dissolve, but the pre-emergent is washed off the flake into your soil. And if you water it in with a half inch of water, rain or water, then you develop sort of a half inch of crust. Or the top half inch of the soil has this chemical in it that'll kill the root of the weed, or any root, really. And so...
So how does it not kill the grass root?
Well, the grass root is already through it.
Oh, okay, because it's still on the top. Got it.
The
okay,
existing grass has roots that are deeper than a half inch, so it doesn't hurt it. It is called weed and grass stopper because it would stop a grass seed from germinating, but not the grass, wouldn't hurt the existing grass. And that's how it works. The first root has to get established, can't get burned off. If it does, it's dead.
Got it. That makes sense.
And if it sets there long enough, say it sets there till June or July, and then the seed tries to germinate, it doesn't hurt it because it's not active forever. It's only active for 2 or 3 months.
Got it. Okay, then after that, what about fertilizing, just regular fertilizer?
I kind of think that after you've mowed the lawn, the grass, not the weeds, but the grass twice, it's really ready to be fed, unless you use organics, because organics are long-term, slower released. So now with organics and pretty soon with chemicals.
And so in what time frame are we talking about for the fertilizer?
So I tell you what, Scott, I tell a lot of people, they ask me when I should fertilize the lawn. I say about 3:30.
So anytime.
Anytime, just get her done. And but with we have the olives growing great. We have that in this year. We were out last year because it got so expensive. Fertilizer went out the roof. And so it could be done now. It has a little chemical fertilizer in it, but it's mainly organic. So that should be done now.
Okay. So we got the pre-emergent. You should already have the pre-emergent on.
Yeah, but it's not too late. Okay, but it's time.
So let's get in.
Yeah, and then you know, crepe myrtles, shrubs, evergreens. You know, you don't need as you know. Used to we had a whole row of green hedge all the way across a house. Remember those days?
Yep.
And we're kind of getting away from that, where we plant some color, yellow bells and stuff. But this is the time to plant those, and fruit trees and shade trees. It's the time. Actually, there's not a really a bad time unless it's right before a 2 week vacation, because you got to take care of them.
But I'm a huge crepe myrtle fan just because they're so hardy. They take the West Texas area. But I know we talked about this before too. You gotta see it to know what I'm talking about. I sold a house in Southland, and it was an older home. Been there for a while. And all the shrubs were the big, enormous, like you said, all green, straight across, And they took them all out. And I thought, why in the world would you do that? It euthanized the house. Euthanized the wrong word. It made it young, the house younger.
Yeah.
It changed the whole thing. And we started with fresh little plants. And I guess even plants get old, too.
Yeah, the book says that a 20-year-old shrub is an old shrub, and it's not going to die, but it's not as resistant to stresses and things.
And it didn't look as...
Not
just
as
healthy. Like we just talked about, we're a year...
Look pretty good, yeah, but
We're a year older than we were last year, so we're getting there. But it doesn't hurt to change things up, but I'm with Tommy. So I think the new way, we're back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, even, people put a lot of green shrubs. Okay, we're going to cover the front of the house with shrubs, and we're done. And you don't see that as much. You see a lot more flowers, a lot more crepe myrtles.
Right.
Knock out the roses.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And there's little drift roses that are tough as nails, too, that stay low and spread. So there's.
Okay. You told me a pansy can take the freeze. Can it take the heat?
In 1976, in the fall, I planted pansies on the bank of the. Anyway, on Knickerbocker and that shopping center where Showbiz was.
Yeah.
Remember that? What's that? That's called Sunset Plaza or something. And it was in the fall, and I put color beds and gravel on that bank, and I planted pansies because that's my only choice, right, in the fall. Well, they lived through the winter fine. In the summer of 77, it rained every other week. And West Texas was gorgeous. And those pansies were beautiful in August.
Is that they had a lot of water?
So they had rainwater.
Yeah.
Those beds were irrigated, and you can water your pansies. So it's interesting. Is it the heat or is it the water quality? And that sort of told me that the water quality has as much to do with anything.
When you got God's water coming down, everything's okay.
Everything's different.
It is different.
And way better.
And we'll talk about when your sprinkler comes on in the middle of the night, that water's full of salt.
Salt and chlorine. It's not as good. It's different.
Well, just drink it.
And there's nitrogen in the, which is the basic main fertilizer. Yeah, just drink the water. Okay. I'm glad we have it.
I am. Oh, thank God. Yes, thank you, God, we have it. But the one thing is, you're talking, is it true like when it's raining and it's lightning, thunder and storm, does that energize the rain?
It ionizes the nitrogen in the atmosphere, and it actually comes down. And so every time it rains, you get a fertilizing.
Yeah.
So, you see it.
But if it,
the weeds grow better, the grass grows, everything grows better.
But it is true story that if it's thundering and it's lightening up the sky,
that there'd be more, a better.
Yeah. A better rain.
Better results from the rain for the grass.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So there's 35,000 tons of nitrogen per acre over your ranch. It's called the atmosphere. That's what the nitrogen in the air weighs per acre. 35,000 tons per acre.
Wow.
And so just a little of it comes down every time it rains.
Is that folks, we always learn something, don't we, Jeremy? Yeah. Seriously, it's good.
All right, Tommy, so my wife and I, we could be assassins of plants. We feel like we can't keep anything alive. So what's the one plant, spring, summer, you would recommend for dummies like us to keep it alive?
You mean a flower or a shrub or what?
Or just something that kind of looks, well, something you can just kind of put in a pot out in your, kind of right in your front porch.
Okay.
Give it a nice little curb appeal.
Well,
that's a good question, by the way.
So some annuals like periwinkles, okay, they're tough as nails. You got to water them, but they can actually wilt and lay flat and then get water and come back. A lantana, you might do well. Some of them are too big for pots, but a lot of them aren't. So those two things, periwinkles and lantanas.
Okay. Hey, that's a good question. I'm with you. People say, oh, you can't kill that plant. Yeah, you can, trust me.
And I know deer won't eat lantana, and I don't think they'll eat periwinkles, but you could test it for me.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm going to go back to what you told me years ago. If they get hungry enough, they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, I told you the story about Don Casaro, when he was doing yards. He said, yeah, I've read up on this, and these deer won't eat these plants. The next morning, all of them were pulled up, mate. And these deer, Bill, they can't read. I didn't know they didn't eat them. Hey, as always, we have fun doing the show, don't we, Tommy?
Yes, we do.
I always enjoy having you over. He does a good job, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
And so I try to play you, just we all know this, every once in a while we will do a rerun on a good show. And Tommy's one I always do a rerun on. So, one, you'll probably hear it again. But number two, if you want to, you can go to sallison.com and hear the show anytime to get any contents of any of the shows you want. Just check us, and we appreciate you listening. Tommy?
Well, thank you, Scott, for having me. It's fun.
Absolutely.
We're old friends.
Yes, sir. Folks, we'll catch you next week.